Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, pal.
Hey, pal. We're down a pal.
We're down a pal. This week. That's right. Welcome to the party, pal.
Aaron is at the beach on a family vacation.
Yes, he is. We're in not a exotic locale, as you can see. We're in our same old digs as always, but we're digging that we're here with you today because it's Thanksgiving weekend, and Matt and I have an abbreviated version of Shift and Steer for you. Today, we're going to talk about just stuff. We're going to talk about, I went to Good Guys. We're going to talk about the crazy winds in California. I'm going to give you a little bit of update on my mezzanine, just a little one. And I'm going to tell you about the fastest e-vehicle in the world now. I think that's going to keep elevating, don't you, Matt?
Yeah, it will.
And yeah. And also,
especially as we start to get into drag racing, you know, because,
yeah,
you know, as you mentioned, back, you know, Ford brought out their Cobra Jet, their EV, their Cobra Jet 1400. That thing's running, I don't know, nines or eights or something like that.
That's
like
crazy,
it's, you know, yeah, just as an experiment. But yeah, what is going on?
Hey, it's all today, and it's on Shift and Steer. But first, we want to tell you about some of our sponsors. One of them is Good Guys. That's right. So I just told you about them. And I had the wrong ad read there, so
you threw that one away.
So no, I want to tell you, did you know you can become a Good Guys member today and join a worldwide community of car enthusiasts just like you? Membership includes 12 issues of the award-winning Gazette magazine, full of coverage from this year's events, how-tos, and classifieds. Discounts on Good Guys event tickets and merchandise, additional discounts off of theme parks, travel, concerts, and more. And you also get an entry to win the 1986 C10 giveaway truck built by Goolsbee's Customs. Available to domestic and international fans. Memberships start at just $25 a year. Get your membership by visiting joingood-guys.com. That's join.good-guys.com. Go get a membership, be part of the gang. You get one of those cool little stickers, I think, that say member on them, and you put it on the back of your car, truck, your motor coach. You can put it on the back of your Ford F-150 Lightning. You can do all that stuff.
Yeah, sweet.
Matt, do you own or rent your home? I'm sure you do.
Yes, I do.
And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy?
Mm-hmm.
Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's GEICO.com. And finally, winter's coming. Sorry to tell you, but it is. I know a lot of the U.S. has had pretty mild weather so far this year, but it's coming. I'm warning you. And over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades. They've been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since, protecting drivers from the harshest weather. And you know what? It could even rain cats and dogs this year. I mean, it could. I'm telling you.
Sometimes it seems like it does.
I know. But whatever the weather, Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact. So go to Trico and Bico.
Hey,
and steer. Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjoy, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
So, hey, right now, as we're recording this, we're in the midst of Thanksgiving weekend. And as we said, Aaron's on a family vacation. What have you been up to, Matt? Anything?
You know, I just hung out with some friends, and I've been coming by the shop over here. I'd love to say that it's been exciting stuff, and I've been working on cars, but unfortunately, we've mostly been working on the beverage company, working on the Bravago stuff. You know, just kind of doing that. Although you mentioned your mezzanine, the mat cave over here is actually getting a little full, and we've got a bunch of Bravago products coming in. We've got 20,000 cans coming in, and it'll sit here, and then it goes out to various distributors.
I hope so, because sitting here doesn't do you any good.
Yeah, it doesn't do much good over here, but because we're kind of running out of space for this, we're starting to, and the lease is up, because I just did a one-year lease. We were trying to figure out how the company was going to go, but it's going well. So now I have to decide, do we stay here? Do we find something bigger? Do we find something in the area? Do we have to move a little bit? I don't want to move this stuff, but you know, it is what it is. So that being said, all of that talk of the wonderful mezzanine that I was going to build over here, we put it on hold. We said, just hold off on everything. It's kind of bittersweet. On one hand, it's like I really wanted to have it, but on the other hand, all of these delays that happened with getting steel and the materials and the cost rising of raw materials to make the mezzanine slowed things down. And because it wasn't even built yet, you know, here we are a year into it. It wasn't even built. It was a little bit easier to say, well, just hold off on it.
Make a tea, like time out?
Yeah, kind of. Unfortunately, the places that I've been looking at don't have quite enough high enough ceilings. So I don't know that we're going to end up getting the mezzanine if we move. If we stay, we might. If we move, we probably won't. And we'll just have to kill that project. But I don't know. I guess we'll see how it goes.
You know what? That's what long weekends are for just kind of doing what you want. That's kind of what I've been doing. I started my weekend, as I shared with you yesterday. We had mad crazy, what are called Santa Ana winds here. And I mean, 80 mile an hour gusts. And yeah. I have lived in the foothills for 25 years now. These had to be the worst winds that I've ever seen. And it did the most damage ever. I mean, we had a tree in our front yard toppled over. We had all of our big, huge potted plants in the back over. And one of them that when I go to move it, it's like, you know, one of those, you kind of wiggle back and forth and move. And in a big clay pot, that thing was in my pool. I'm like, how did that thing go in the pool? Because it's not like it's got a big palm tree or anything. It has, you know, kind of flowers and stuff. So nothing that was a sale. But it might have been nudged along by my patio furniture, which all was in the pool as well. And my glass top of the table, I think, hit the pot and exploded, and glass everywhere. So I've been sweeping glass around the pool, sweeping leaves, and I took 3 32-gallon trash cans full of leaves out of my pool. I mean, it was nuts. It's crazy. So all my neighbors have damage, you know, there's fences over and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Did any of your cars get hurt?
Thankfully not. I kind of keep the cars in the no-fly zone for the most part. And I have had in the past like a palm frond or something. But you know what gets the most damage is I have one of those cement roofs, the cement tiles, the fireproof roof, which are expensive and they're so fragile. They're like a tile roof, you know. And a palm frond falls from 30 feet up and comes down, breaks a tile every time. Then I got to have the roof guy come out, and it's a whole process because they've got to lift
flex
tiles.
Seal, baby. Get some flex seal.
Yeah, there you go.
You can just glue all those things together.
It makes me think about, because I'm going to put in a solar on, but I think I'm going to put it on my neighbor's side who has no trees, and of my guest house, because then I can run the power to both structures, but not be in the zone, because I think of my roof, that's a little tile. Man, if one of those things came down, smashed my solar panel, I'd be really, I'd be upset. Yeah. But no, great Thanksgiving. And I'm doing kind of like what you are, Matt. I was at the shop here yesterday trying to organize, do some things. Wanted to, and here's my bitch. I want to get this mezzanine finished. And
yeah, it was looking pretty good last time I saw it.
Yeah, it's all done. The floor's in and everything, but I need to put the railing around it. And okay, not to complain, but you see all these fittings right here. These are,
yeah, you got a box.
These are fittings for the railing. They're called speed rail. Really cool cast aluminum. All right, let me show you something else. These are fittings right here. Okay.
Yeah.
Called speed rail. Oh wait, these are fittings right here. They're called speed rail. None of them are the ones I ordered. They've replaced the shipment four times. And first they sent the wrong size. And then the ones they keep sending me are these little flat guys like this. They keep sending me these flat-bottomed fittings. I know for those who can't see it, I'm trying to describe it.
It's like it's a T-fitting.
It would bolt to the floor.
It's a flat base that would bolt to the floor. And it's
right,
not,
and then the handrail would come straight up. But what I've ordered...
It's got like a male end on it, like a female
one just like this, Matt, but with a 90-degree. And the reason is because if I bolt this to the floor, it's just into the wood. And it's really not going to take, if anybody ever fell against it or something heavy I had fell against it, you know, those bolts can come out of the plywood pretty easy, even if you have, you know, washers on both sides and everything like that. So the other ones would go to the side and go bolt into the steel railing that holds the whole structure. And then there would be the railing can go up like that. So I'm supposed to get another shipment. It was supposed to show up yesterday, and it still hasn't. So hopefully it will show up by Monday, and then eventually I can get that up. Then I can start on the staircase. I ordered the steel for the staircase and going to do that. And then I'll be able to – I'm already starting to use it, though, and I'm looking at it. It's like you're building or like a garage. When you start putting cars in it and you go, oh man, that's filling up really quick. That's how my mezzanine
fills up real quick. Listen, when I got this warehouse space, I was like, oh, this is plenty of space. And it fills up so quickly. When you move something big like a car in here, and being it kind of like, I know I've said this a million times, it's just a little too narrow. You know, the building's about 25 feet wide. It's long, but it's 25 feet long or 25 feet wide. And it's tough to back a car in and put it on the side, because when you do that, there's not enough room. You have to put it on rollers to put it in sideways. And then you can't get behind the car because it's up against the wall. And there's only about 10 feet, maybe 8 feet in front of you to walk past it. But it's just not quite enough. The place just needs to be 5 foot wider. If it was 30 foot wide instead of 25 foot wide, which is really the motivation on looking at other places, going, all right, well, we're out of space, but it fills up so quick. I don't know. It just fills up quickly.
I saw a great post on Instagram. Some guy went, hey, if anybody's looking for a gift for me for the holidays, just remember, I wear a size 80 by 180 foot garage.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, so you last time we talked, you were heading out to Arizona and you were going to go to the Good Guys event. And this is nothing to do with the ad that we read, but
right.
The Arizona event, the Scottsdale event, is always a big event. How was it out there?
Well, I can't tell you. I never made it. Dave Merrick was in town. We wound up in a bar. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was great. I used to go to that event. Michael Anthony and I used to load up our cars and go over to that event every year. And then, you know, things, you know, get crazy. You don't do it. And I hadn't been for so long. And that event has grown and it's become kind of like this, you know, wind up for the year. And I was surprised at how many people were there that I knew, guys from the East Coast, guys from the Midwest. And, I got to see so many people. I ran into Jesse Greening, who had driven his Galaxy 500 and made it kind of a trip, stopping at places all along the way. Tim Strange was there, and another builder out of Nashville. Jesse James was there, ran into Jesse. He had his truck and trailer there and a display. And we talked for a while, and then I saw Bobby Alloway. I saw just tons of people.
That's a long haul for Bobby Alloway.
Yeah, no, I mean, right? So many people. But you know what? They kind of make it. It's starting to get cold at home. So they come there and it's like, oh, man, this is, you know, and it was 80 degrees, sunny, a light breeze. It's such a great venue because they hold it at the same event site that Barrett Jackson does their auction, yeah, in Scottsdale. So you've got this big grassy polo field, then you've got the big huge parking lot for the cars, and you've got an indoor area for the vendors, and they've got their autocross going on, you know, the Pro Touring Autocross, and it's great. It was really nice. I had a great time. I went out one night on Friday night with the photographer John Jackson, who I've known for years, such a cool guy. And we went to Scottsdale, grabbed some Mexican food, and it just had a great time. And then I wound up my trip on Saturday before I headed back by, you ever get that urge, Matt, where you're like, you know, want something specific to eat? And like, mm-hmm, when I left on Thursday to drive over there, I was like, man, I could use some bacon in it. I just want a real breakfast. And I didn't have time. Got in my car, left. Then I said, well, tomorrow morning. And I went over there for two reasons. One was to have the trees trimmed at the house in Arizona. And so,
yeah.
And so I was like, well, tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up, have some, go up and get some bacon and eggs. And, you know, nope. Tree trimmers showed up at 7:30, knocking on the door. And they didn't leave till later. And then I had to shoot. I go, I'll stop on my way to Good Guys. Nope. Didn't have time. I had to get to Good Guys. So I jammed over there. So I never got it that day. So on Saturday morning, I said, damn it, I'm going to get some. And I'll post a picture of this place. In Mesa, Arizona, along Main, yeah, Street, there's all these little places, the Sunnyside Breakfast Place and all these. Well, I went to this one and it was I almost walked in and said, ooh, maybe I made a mistake. Because I walked in and it looked so basic. It had like, separating the kitchen from the eating area, like trellis, you know, white painted trellis, like you would put, yeah, like in your patio. And everything was real basic, but I knew I was in the right place. I sat down and I knew I was in the right place as soon as the lunch crowd started coming in. Cause I was later than breakfast, but not quite lunch. It was like 11 o'clock and all these people start coming in and it was a mix of people. There were some like, you know, the guys with long beards and the sleeve tats. And then there was guys, then there was retired couples. Then there was families. And so I go, okay, if all these people are coming in, it's got to be pretty good, real variety of people. And then I knew it when the lady started coming in. She goes, you better have some of that goulash that that you said was today's special. She goes, I have a lot of it. And it was these older women, best bacon. I had a hamburger steak, two eggs over easy, and hash browns. Did you ever have the hash browns at 24/7 in Vegas at Hard Rock, the restaurant they had called 24/7?
I don't think so. Dude, I don't get the Hard Rock that much.
Well, when it was there, Mr. Lucky's 24/7 was like a go-to for me because they had the best hash browns because they didn't use fake. They used real butter, and they were crispy on both sides. They were so good. That's what these were like. And it was awesome. It was called Two Seasons Cafe. I'll post a photo of it because it is so nondescript. And then I walked out, and it's in a little strip center, you know, that was built probably in the 60s or something. And what is that? I walk around the corner, and alongside the strip center, some dude's restoring his Chevy pickup truck. Did you see that photo I posted? It's stripped down. It's on jack stands, and he has a container next to it. We're not talking somebody's house. We're not talking a gas station. We're not talking. It was a pawn shop. Behind the pawn shop was this truck on jack stands, and it had like rubber pads around it. Like the guy goes out whenever he can. I go, that's harsh when you got to restore your truck in a strip center parking lot, you know, because I think of like when I've done stuff in my driveway and you got to get done at the end of the night, everything has to be picked up, but you can kind of go, well, just, you know, put a few. No, man, this guy has to put everything away every night back into the container. And it was pretty hardcore. It was, but it was good. It was a good trip. Good guys. Scottsdale is definitely worth going to. And lots of great people there. And, you know, it's one of those that people could almost do, like go to SEMA and then, you know, shoot down to Scottsdale. And I think a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, right on.
So it was cool. It was cool. And
I don't know if we touched on this last week as well, but and you know, of course, the more the car news is, I'm driving this Toyota Camry TRD.
How is it? Because that Toyota Camry is a damn good car. I've driven it.
So, I mean, Toyota Camry is a good car, wildly popular, one of the best selling sedans in the country. So Toyota did an interesting thing. So TRD, right, the Toyota Racing Development, they made sort of a hotter version of the car. Unfortunately, Toyota's really kind of done this a few times, but never addressed the power. Like they never really added any power. It's not like a Honda Civic Type R, you know, or something like that. So they did improve the handling, and they gave it a little bit more of a boy racer look, you know, a splitter in the front, wing in the back, 19-inch wheels, red calipers, a couple little upgrades on the brakes, a little bit larger, you know, red seat belts. You know, it's got a cool sporty look. I've been getting a lot of compliments just driving around. Somebody said, you know, I love the blue color and it looks kind of tough, but it's still a front wheel drive vehicle. It does have the V6, which is an option on, I believe, on that car. So it should run, and it's front wheel drive. So that's kind of, it would have been cool if it was an all wheel drive version with a little bit more power. But it's a front wheel drive. So the 0-60s and the high fives, like a 5.8 range, somewhere around there. It's probably a mid to low 14 second quarter mile, but they put more tire on it. They put a little bit more spring rate in it, lowered a tad, a little bit more sway bar. And it's got a kind of a sportiness to it. Now I find it kind of fun, but driving around with other people, they have said it feels a little bumpy.
Okay.
So yeah, it's got a little bit of a bounce to it. It's a little bit jarring, and it's mostly when, you know, when you notice it is when your passenger is kind of reaching for the radio or to adjust an AC vent and their hand is kind of bouncing around and they can't
get it, or they turn it up too much.
Yeah. So that's kind of, it's kind of the indication of somebody going, why is your car so bumpy? And you're like, oh, I don't know. It's just the way it is. So overall, I thought it's a sportier way to get into a very popular, well-supported, well-built sedan like the Camry. But the pricing on it, this is sort of the take it or leave it. On one hand, it's actually very affordable, $33,000 and change. But on the other hand, it's because they didn't do what a lot of companies do, is have several different trim levels. And then the sporty version usually is at the top of the range, right? They take their limited edition or whatever, you know, platinum edition lineup, and then they make sort of the sportier version of it. What Toyota did was they started with sort of a basic stripped down version of the Camry, and then added the sportiness to it with the suspension and wheels and tires, but no heated seats, no heated steering wheel, no sunroof, moonroof, any of that. You know, just like a lot of the basic options were eliminated. So that actually kept the cost down. You can get their top of the line Camry for $36,000-$37,000. But this one starts at $33,000. Now, unfortunately, I don't think you can add back a lot of those features. Now, the end result is it's a little bit lighter weight, and it's got a sportiness, and it's got a cool look to it with the larger wheels and bigger brakes and the wing and stuff. The weird move was I like that they started with the base model, so you can get into this thing for, you know, for $33,000 and change, but you can't add back, I don't think, a lot of that other stuff. I would like to have said, okay, well, what if I do want to add, you know, like a whole, you know, premium package to it?
You can't.
And all-wheel drive would have been fun as well. If you can't get rear-wheel drive. And then, yeah, then you end up at probably like a $41,000-$42,000 version, which is beyond the Camry audience for the most part. But I still think they would do okay with it. So anyway, just some thoughts on the Toyota Camry TRD. It looks cool. It's not nearly as aggressive as a Civic Type R, right? Like that's right. Definitely got a big
It's a little bit more, yeah, refined. Like you said, less boy racer. It's let me, you know, something I forgot was I drove the Mitsubishi Outlander to Arizona. Uh-huh. Have you driven one of those?
No, I haven't been in a Mitsubishi in a long time. I didn't even know they still made cars. I mean, I do, but it's just kind of.
So I drove their current model of the Mitsubishi Outlander because they're touting that they are coming out with, I mean, they have totally changed the vehicle. It is not anywhere near. And from the photos, the 2022 Outlander, new interior, new exterior, new everything, and it needed it. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Because I drove this one. It got awesome mileage. I mean, we're talking like 30 miles to a gallon for a small SUV. But it was one. Have you ever been in one of those vehicles where, unless you're on like the smoothest brand new asphalt, it's like making so much noise? You got to turn the stereo way up.
Yeah.
It has so much road noise. And, you know, it just didn't handle that well. And it had a lot of torque steer, which I haven't had a car with torque steer in a long time. Most of the companies really worked on getting that. So I'm not going to bag on it too much because it's inexpensive and it's a decent looking vehicle. It has lane control and it has, you know, some of the accoutrements that you're used to nowadays, you know, Apple CarPlay. But the new one I'm excited about and I want to check it out because at 26,000 and some change.
Wow.
It looks really good, and it's going to come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty, and they're still quoting that 31 miles a gallon, and I got 30, and I was, you know, not driving, you know, like really, I was driving like I normally do, you know, and that $26,000 price tag, Matt, on their new one includes quite a bit because it's going to come with the 7-passenger seating, the 18-inch alloys, collision avoidance, blind spot warning, cross traffic warning, you know, the push button start, the Apple CarPlay. It's got front USB ports, 8-inch smartphone display, and you get Sirius XM and Bluetooth technology. So it's, you know, and it looks a lot better than the old one too. So it'll be interesting. I want to get a hold of one of those and drive it and see how it is. Cause the interior, I don't know, they must've got some new people in there because the interior looks very high end and very much like, you know, any of the leading, you know, BMWs or Audis or anything like that at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting. And at that price point, it's almost with that price point and the warranty, that's kind of what you're looking for.
Yes.
You know, especially for like a bang around vehicle or just like a big commuter. And you don't really want to, I don't want to say it's for people who don't love to drive because it's not very, you know, it's not really that kind of vehicle. But, you know, if you've got your hot rod or something kind of cool at home for the weekends or whenever, and you just want to get something that you're going to put miles on and have to beat around in, or, you know, sit in all day, it might not be too bad if it's got all the technical bits, like you said, CarPlay and stuff. And if it's comfortable and good gas mileage and that kind of warranty, you know, I guess,
pretty good deal. I mean,
not a bad option.
I mean, I've got a Mitsubishi in my shop, in my garage.
Yeah.
I got a Mitsubishi Diamante, but,
that's right.
Of course, it's the, only one ever shipped to America with 3000 GT drivetrain, all wheel drive, all wheel steering. So it's pretty, pretty unique in that, but I got to put a new fuel pump in it.
That's right. Yeah. And probably the warranty is not going to cover that.
No, no. And you know where the fuel pump is on that thing? You take out the back seat.
Yes. Yes. But sometimes they lift up and it's not bad.
Yeah. No, you take out the back seat.
Dropping the tank is more of a pain in the ass. Yeah.
It's way better than my Astro van, where that one also was you take out a seat and the access panel you got to with an air chisel, and you there was a people because it was so difficult to change that when I went to look it up, there were all these guys who, oh no, just cut a hole in the floor and then rivet it back, man. I'm like, well, I think I'll drop the tank and do it the right way. But at the top of the show, I teased everybody with, we're going to tell you about the world's fastest electric vehicle.
Yeah.
You took a guess, and what did you say?
I said Volkswagen, because we went to the Goodwood Hill Climb a few years back, and I think Volkswagen had like an EV, like prototype kind of race car. For a couple of years in a row, I believe it was the fastest thing up the hill climb. So I don't know if it was the fastest top speed, but it set a record like acceleration and handling going up that hill climb. So I would say like something in the Volkswagen area is probably going after that.
Well, I'll tell you who it is first. It's Rolls-Royce. They now have beat Revolt's land speed record of 357 miles an hour that Revolt put down at Bonneville last month. Now, that's only part of the story, because it's a little bit of a cheat, because they came out with a Rolls-Royce powered airplane and the airplane went 387. So now that makes Revolt's land speed record sound that much more impressive when they had to go in the air to get 30 miles an hour faster. And Revolt did it at Bonneville on the land.
All right, so the Rolls-Royce is a plane.
It's a plane. It's a plane, Matt. Yeah, but it's a
But Rolls-Royce, the aerospace company, is no longer associated with Rolls-Royce, the car company.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they're completely separate. They somehow share the name, but Rolls-Royce still, I believe, is an aerospace engine manufacturer. That's a big part of what they do as well. So I just don't think it's the same company at all. I think they kind of just share the name. Because, you know, Rolls-Royce, the car company, is part of the BMW group.
Right,
and
exactly.
And Rolls-Royce, before it was acquired by BMW, there was sort of a separation of what they would get, you know, and they got the intellectual property on the name, and then they built platforms, you know, using BMW 7 Series and things like that, which is interesting. I was just at a Rolls-Royce event, a car event, and talking with them and asking them, how are they doing? And they said, you know, we're doing fantastic. They do such a small amount of cars anyway. And it's interesting because they said they are having some difficulty getting cars made, but not because of the supply chain issues, just because the demand for the cars are there. And the customer, the Rolls-Royce customer, most of the time orders a bespoke car. Like the whole process has never really been go to the Rolls-Royce showroom and buy what's there. It's always go to the showroom, test drive the vehicle that's there, and then sit in the fancy room with the person and pick your leathers and your materials. And then, you know, 6 months later, you know, 8 months later, you get your car. So it's an order issue, not a supply chain issue. And I just asked them, I said, hey, what about like all the computer chips? Every car manufacturer is suffering with computer chips. And they said, you know what? They said the parent company BMW understands our customer, a high-end customer that special orders. And they understand that we only make hundreds, if not a few thousand cars a year. This isn't hundreds of thousands. So they said that BMW does a very good job making sure that Rolls-Royce doesn't have any chip issues. So whatever allocation that they need, they get. So just kind of an interesting thing that.
So in other words, they're like, we could sell like 100 of these, you know, 2 Series BMWs, but we're going to sell one $5 million you know, Rolls Royce. There.
Well, I mean, $350,000. But also, when you look at the Excel sheets, right? You're going, oh, we need chips for, you know, 180,000, you know, 200,000 3 Series cars, and they go, oh, well, Rolls Royce needs 480 chips for an entire annual lineup of Rolls Royce Ghosts. They go, all right, we could bust off 400 or 500 chips out of the lineup, right? And just give it to them. It's not going to make a huge dent in the overall sales of BMW. So, but it's very profitable for Rolls Royce and that division. So I guess
because you have to have that one chip that ejects your umbrella out of the door when it's raining.
Well, that's spring loaded, but you do need the chip for the Spirit of Ecstasy to go out of the hood and get sucked back into the hood when you turn the car on and off.
but the one in the door is no longer spring loaded. It automatically ejects if it detects moisture when the door is open, Matt.
That would be funny if it did that, but paying a little homage to Rolls-Royce having that in there, the new Rivian pickup trucks, the EV truck, has something in the door like that, but instead of an umbrella, it's a flashlight.
Gun port?
It would be cool if it was a gun port. But there's the flashlight, and it recharges when it's in the door. It's
got, oh, you know, okay, gotcha.
Rechargeable battery,
so,
which is
I knew a guy, his name was Pete, and he had a place between his seats where he had a 45, and you know, we talked about that once on the show. So
that's aftermarket, though. That did not come
that was
with
aftermarket.
The car.
You're right.
It was definitely aftermarket. It was so funny when you ask about a Peach Force, when you ask about it, you're like, why don't you put it in the trunk? He's like, because it'll take too long to get it if I need it. Because
and they were
too
like,
late.
But it's not loaded, right? Oh, well, hell yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's loaded.
So, he was.
Yeah, all right. So
I think, you know what? We should go enjoy the Thanksgiving weekend and call it a 40-minute show this week.
Yeah, or whatever we ended up doing after we riffed in the beginning. But thanks, guys. We appreciate it. A little bit shorter show this week. We've got some stuff to do.
So do they. So do they, Matt.
Recording.
Just remember
hopefully
that.
You guys as well. You guys got some stuff to do. All right. Well, check us out at shiftandsteer.com. You can check me out at Motorator on social media. I've been posting some photos from the LA Auto Show and a couple of other the events that came up, the Land Rover event, Jaguar event, and Lotus event, you know, some things like that. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. Oh, let me just make another quick announcement.
Go right ahead.
The PRI show, which I've never been to.
It's part
of SEMA. SEMA owns it. I've never been. Performance racing industry. It's like the SEMA show. It's a little bit smaller, and it's more for the hardcore racing. So it's December 9th through the 11th, and I will be there myself doing CarCast Live Friday, December 10th. I'll be on the main stage. We have got a couple of good guests coming out. I will not be there with Adam Carolla. I will not be there with Shift and Steer guys, unfortunately, and will not be there with Goldberg. I'll be out there myself. So don't come for me. Come for the other guests and come check out the show. So PRI, December 10th, 10 a.m. It's a Friday. I can't wait to go and check it out. I'm excited about going
it's
to
cool.
PRI.
It's cool. You'll dig it. It's so different than SEMA. It's a different vibe. It's a different... But it's really a good show. I've gone in the past years once or twice with Larry Dixon and walked around, and it's fun. And I also went when it was in Florida for a few years, went down there, and
yeah,
there's some stories. Boy, I went out one night on the town with Larry. Let's see. I'm trying to think. There's Brandon Bernstein, Larry. There was a whole group of us, and it was ugly.
I know they've got a big list of invited guests going out there. As you said, a lot of drag racers and stuff. Yeah. I heard Antron Brown was going to be there and a couple of the other racers as well. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. Not really looking forward to the weather, but it's fine. Once I'm in the building and running around booth to booth, it should be fun to check it out. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there.
And you know what? Almost forgot. Congratulations to Tony Stewart and Leah for getting married. They got married.
Getting married. And our good friend Ron Capps, by the way, walked away with a championship for the season in the drag racing world. So Ron Capps, man, it's been exciting.
It's been a lot happening. So, hey, everybody.
Mostly other people. But, yeah.
If you want to see some of the photos that I posted from Good Guys, check my Instagram feed out at Bradley_Fanshawe. And I'm on Facebook, Twitter also, but really post a lot more on Instagram. So go check it out. And thanks to our sponsors. And Aaron will probably be back next week with a tan. Okay. We'll see everybody. All right.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
A word from our friends at Geico. Maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.